Another amen. I welcome you to the Tuesday Leadership Development Session in Jesus' name. And I pray that we'll not just be hearers of the word only, we'll be doers of the word in Jesus' name. It's not the hearers who are blessed, it's the people who do. To every detail of what we learn and what we hear, everyone praying, having the grace and doing what the Lord has explained, expounded, and given us in the word. I pray we'll be leaders who follow the light of the gospel, the light of the standard the Lord is giving us, and will earnestly, passionately, profitably, wholeheartedly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints in Jesus' name, that one and all, small and great, men and women, leaders, that we will abide by the word of God, and let our light so shine in the presence of men and even in the secret place, that the light of the word will shine bright in every life in Jesus' name. Good amen. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight and bless your name. We come before you. We know that you have chosen us in various places of assignment, and we pray that you help us in every little detail, in every major thing, that you will earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints in Jesus' name. There'll be no fear in our hearts. There'll be no compromise. There'll be no cowardice. We'll stand on the word you have given us to give to the people in Jesus' name. The disobedience of people will not shut our mouth. And the rebellion of anyone, man or woman, near or far, familiar or strange, we pray the rebellion of anyone will not shut our mouth in Jesus' name. This truth, the saving truth, this truth, the sanctifying truth that you have given us, that will lead people to heaven, will stand and abide with it conscientiously, wholeheartedly, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Another amen. God bless you. You can see now, we're coming to Numbers chapter 16. And we're reading from verse 1. It says, now Korah, the son of Issachar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. It's giving us such a long list so that we'll know that this Korah is not coming from an ordinary background. It's coming from the tribe of Levi. And this is the tribe of Levi that God himself had chosen, that they will bear the instruments of the tabernacle, and they will stand between the Almighty God and the people of Israel, so that they lead them in worship, they lead them in service, so that they can serve the Lord as God has ordained. And now we are told, and then and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the son of Reuben, took men. Look at verse 2. In verse 2 it says, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Look at verse 3. It says in verse 3, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you. That's not true. These people were liars. You see, the people who rebel, they also lie. They also deceive. You take too much upon you. Is it not this Moses that said, I cannot bear all the burden alone? And God said to 70 people, if he was taking too much on him, why was he shedding part of the assignment and giving part of the assignment to the people? And 70 people were chosen, and the Spirit of God upon him got took and put upon the 70. Now Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they were deceivers. They were liars. They were only seeking popularity among the people. They said, seeing all the congregation are holy. That's not true. All the congregation holy. But when they bowed down to idols and God said, I will destroy every single one of them. No, they were not. They were not holy. They were not sanctified. They were not pure. They were not purified. And these people were just flattering the congregation so that they could have their way. They said, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. That's not true, because God said, leave me alone, Moses, and I will disinherit them. I will destroy them. It wasn't in their midst, were it not for the prayer of Moses. And then it says, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Look at the next verse there. It tells us in verse 5, when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. But don't take that for weakness. Don't take that for fear of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Don't take that for cowardice, that when Moses heard, he fell upon his face. He pitied them. He knew that the judgment of God will come upon them. He fell on his face in humility before God. He fell on his face because he wasn't going to argue with them. He wasn't going to have any discussion with them. He knew they were wrong, and he knew what will come at the end of that kind of rebellion. He fell upon his face. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, it says, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Now Korah was not satisfied with having Dathan and Abiram to partner with him, to conspire with him. He wasn't satisfied that 250 famous men in the congregation will conspire with him. He went on in this campaign of calumny, the campaign of putting Moses down, and the campaign of putting Aaron down, and he appealed to all the congregation, and he said, what do you think? How do you see this? And how do you feel about this? Gathered all the congregation together, and God saw everything, and God knew everything, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Look at verse 20 there. In verse 20 it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, verse 21, it says, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Not only Korah, not only Abiram, and not only Dathan, not only 250 famous men, all the congregation. God said, Moses, Aaron, get out of that congregation. A rebellious congregation is rejected by God, disinherited by God, and the Lord will not show them favor. Look at verse 22. In verse 22 it says, and they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? It was this same Moses pleading for them. It was this same Moses interceding for them. In verse 23 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, look at verse 24, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. We're looking at verse 32. In verse 32, it says, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. And then we're told in verse 35, and there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Verse 41, and on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. When people are not saved, there's not much intercession can do for them. When people are not sanctified, there is not much exhortation can do for them. One moment they feared and they ran, they said, they didn't want to be swallowed up by the earth. The following morning, the following day, because they lacked salvation, because they lacked relationship with God, they lacked the light of the knowledge of the word of God, and they lack the light of truth in their lives. Because of that, they now murmured, somebody who is not born again, somebody who does not have the grace of God living in him, transforming him, there's no change. They might be up today, they are down tomorrow. They might look friendly today, but tomorrow they are hostile. They might look that they have accepted, and they should not be. But the following time, the flesh and the carnality will still work in them. And so they said, you have killed the people of the Lord. We're told in verse 45, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. Again, they fell on their faces. We're told in verse 49, now they that died in the plague, which in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. Well, that's the summary of the whole chapter, chapter 16 of Numbers. Tonight, we're looking at the high cost of leaders' used, misused, unused tongues. The cost of their tongue. Korah, that was the tongue, the way he used his tongue, misused his tongue, and all the other people, the way they used their tongue and the way they misused their tongues, they abused their office, they abused their privileges because of the way they used and misused their tongue. And then there's the unused tongue, the 70 elders, the 70 leaders that were to bear burden with Moses. Where are they? We can't find them. They can't use their tongue. They can't say anything. They can't discourage Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They didn't use their tongue. They just kept quiet. They were mute, quiet, silent, when they should have spoken out. And that's the problem in congregations and in churches. When something is going wrong and somebody knows this is not right, it will not be from me they will hear. When people are conspiring and when people are doing evil, the people that know them, when we hear the word of God and when the word of God says this is the way, walk ye therein, and then we find people the very next moment, the very next day, they are not walking according to the word of God. Other people see that because it's fresh. We had it yesterday. Don't yield to temptation. We had it yesterday that the lowly who have the grace of God, who have the riches of the kingdom of God, they are made high. But the people who appear rich and who appear to have the things of this world, they are made low because they are not preparing for their eternity. The very following day, the very following minute, we'll see people who contradict the word of God. It's like they were not at the start, but they were there, and there are others that see them. They will not use their tongue. The leaders too, they're quiet. The leaders too, they're silent. They see somebody as we're emphasizing. We've been emphasizing this year, earnestly contending for the faith, once delivered unto the saints. And we see people who are almost retrogressing, who are almost going back to the things they vomited before. And we know they are not earnestly, passionately, wholeheartedly, purposefully contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. But usually those 70 burden bearers who were to agree with Moses that we lift up the standard, we make everybody go in the direction of the land of promise. The people that see all these lowering the standard, everybody keeps quiet, everybody keeps mute, everybody is silent because they are cowards. They cannot challenge anybody. And so we have people who use their tongues, who misuse their tongue, and who do not use their tongues. The high cost of leaders used, misused, unused tongues. We're looking at three things in the message tonight. Number one, the mischievous tongues of position seeking superiors in their corruption. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were position seekers. They were looking for, you know, a higher place. That's why Moses said, you've got this privilege that God has given you. Are you seeking the priesthood too? Number one, the mischievous tongues of position seeking superiors in their corruption. Number two, the murmuring tongues of place seekers, supporters in their contention. There are people, they don't have any position, they are just like they're in the congregation, but they have been sucked in. They have been kind of confused, and they have been influenced by position seekers. And now, instead of they seeking how to get to the land of Canaan, how to get to the land of promise, all they do is that they support the position seekers and the place seekers in their contention. They contend. They're not contending for the faith, they're contending for falsehood. They're not contending for the faith, they're contending for the rebels. They're not contending for the faith, they're contending for the compromisers and evil people who want to keep the congregation of the Lord in the wilderness. The murmuring tongues of place seekers, supporters in their contention. Number three, the muted tongues, those who will not talk, those who will not say anything. I come to church, I don't want any trouble, I don't want any confrontation with these position seekers. Yes, we all know they're seeking position. We all know that's their mind. We all know they want to grab this and grab that. We all know, but what's my business with that? They don't talk. They don't say anything. They don't pull down. They don't pull up. They're just quiet. They don't encourage. They don't discourage the leader. They just keep quiet. They say they have the calling, they have the anointing, they have the Spirit of God, but they're not using the Spirit of God in them to help bear the burden with Moses, with Aaron. They are the muted tongues of the partnering, silent 70 in their cowardice. Let's look at number one. Number one, we're looking at number one, the mischievous tongues, opposition, seeking superiors in their corruption. These were superior people. These were people that were famous. These were well-known people, superior to many of the people in the congregation, but they didn't have evidence of salvation. You know, it's not the position somebody holds, it's the evidence of salvation. They didn't have the steadfastness in sanctification. When somebody is sanctified through and through, entire sanctification, heart sanctification, mind sanctification, sanctified through and through, you will tell from the language, from the comportment, and from the purpose of life that he or she follows. They were not sanctified, and yet there were superior people in the congregation, and these were not people that had the evidence of being of overflowing, being saturated with the Spirit of God. They were fleshly, they were carnal, they were rebellious, they were conspirators, yet they were seniors in their corruption. I pray God will deliver us from them in Jesus' name. You must give me a good amen if you agree. Three things we're looking at here. Number one, we're looking at the corruption and mischievousness of famous position seekers. Position seekers. They are not seeking the promised land. They are not seeking how all of us will go deeper and deeper into the grace of God. All they were seeking for is position. Now tell me, if you even have the position, what good is it going to be for Israel? Because already you said they are all holy, they are all righteous, and the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord is with them all. And you are putting down the Moses who will emphasize the standard of the word in the midst of the people. Even if they are in the position, what were they going to do advantageously for the people of God? Number two, the condemnation and misery of filthy popularity seekers. They wanted to be popular. Why do you want to be popular in a system you don't agree with? Why do you want to be popular in Israel that you do not have the right concept about them? Why do you want to be popular in a place where you do not agree with the leader, and the leader is going stronger and stronger, is going to 120 years of age, and we cannot see the kind of pressure of age or years upon him, and this man is like to spend another, I don't know how many years. What do you want to be popular in such a place? Why don't you check out and go where you want to go? But they had this filthy position seeking, popularity seeking. They had the condemnation and their misery. Number three, the character and the mindset of falling prize seekers. They wanted the prize, they wanted the crown, they wanted the recognition, and because of that, they were the way they were. I pray anyone here, God will deliver you in Jesus' name. And anyone there, you will not have the support of saved people in Jesus' name. Give me headquarters, amen. You know, anybody who supports popularity seeker has lost contact with heaven. He doesn't know. He doesn't know the real value. He cannot estimate. He cannot evaluate that this fellow, this Korah, this Dathan, and this Abiram, he cannot evaluate that this one is not in the Lord. And they just follow. They're just following them. If you follow a position seeker, popularity speaker, prize seeker, if you follow a conspirator, obviously, you are not hearing from God. You are not in connection with God. You are not saved. If you were saved, you lost touch with God. And you lost the salvation. Obviously, you are not sanctified. If you are in support of any conspirator, obviously, there is no sanctification there. You are not following peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And those people who are against the light, those people who are against the forthright word of God, the light of the word of God, those people, they do not have the heart that is sanctified, that is purified, the heart that is prepared, going to heaven. You'll not be part of them in Jesus' name. Another amen. Number one is the corruption and mischievousness of famous position seekers. We've read about that, but let's look at Numbers chapter 16, reading from verse 10. In Numbers chapter 16, reading from verse 10, it says, "And he has brought thee near to him." Is that not enough? Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. Seek ye the priesthood also. Are you seeking the priesthood? And that's why they are called position seekers. What has the Lord told us? In Jeremiah chapter 45, I'm looking at verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 45, verse 5. "And seekest thou great things for thyself, not for the kingdom, for thyself, not for the congregation, for thyself, not for the preaching of the gospel, for thyself, not for the great commission, seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not." The Lord has told us pointedly and clearly that he doesn't want to share his glory with any woman, with any man. He doesn't want to share all the exaltation that should belong to Christ. He doesn't want to share that with any man or any woman, any brother or any sister, any young one, any older one. "Seekest thou great things for thyself, seek them not." We're looking at number two here. Number two is the condemnation and misery of filthy popularity seekers. There are many good things the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to do good things with a pure heart, with a purged heart. He wants us to do things of grace, gracious things. He wants us to do that without any strings attached, without seeking for popularity, without seeking for any position, without having to put Moses down so we can climb on him. We don't need to do that. Without putting Aaron down so that we can climb on him. Those who have to put Moses down, and those who have to put Aaron down so that they can climb on them and be more visible and be more recognized and be more appreciated by the congregation. Those are the popularity speakers, and they use their tongues in the way they shouldn't use their tongue. Numbers chapter 16, I'm reading from verse 9. "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself?" Korah, is that not enough? Dathan, Abiram, is that not enough to bring you near unto himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, "And He has brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also. In verse 11, it says, for which cause both you and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. They thought they were gathered against Moses. They thought, oh, we love the Lord. Oh, we're just defending the statutes of the Lord. We're just, preventing this Moses and this Aaron coming between the people and the Lord. They thought they were defending the Lord, but actually they were going against the Lord. They were rebelling against the Lord. And what is Aaron that she murmur against him? Look at verse 12. In verse 12, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come up. What are we going to do? You want to counsel them? They said, we will not come. You want to correct them? They said, we will not come. You want to show them the foolishness of their way? They said, they will not come. You want to show them they need repentance because danger was imminent on them. But they said, we will not come. That is how rebellious people, that's what they are. They put a shield between you and them. If you are the one that can correct them, they put something in that will make you look away from them, because they think if they put this and do that, they'll be afraid. Yeah, well, if he wanted to say, my brother, why are you doing this? Why are you in this direction? If he wanted to bring any kind of correction, if we put this there, he will be afraid. He'll shut up. If they're women, the same thing. A woman can be also a rebellious person. A man can be a rebellious person. Somebody near, in fact, the nearer they are, the more they can rebel, because they do not want the correction of their Moses. They do not want the correction of somebody they know. He knows the scripture, but I want to do something. I don't want anybody commenting. I don't want anybody showing me any kind of face. I don't want anybody saying, according to he's going to quote a verse now. And so they put something there that will shut him up. They said, we will not come. Well, to know how rebellion kind of spreads and how it broods, so that we do not go in that way of kind of rebellion. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey? Korah, you're telling a lie. This one is blatant lie. You had bondage in Egypt. It wasn't a land flowing with milk and honey. You cried. The children of Israel cried in Egypt. That's why God sent Moses to deliver them. But now looking back, they said, after all, we had a land flowing with milk and honey in Egypt, and you brought us out of there to kill us in the wilderness. That's not right. That's not true. To kill us in the wilderness when they reared up the golden calf. And God said, Moses, let me alone. I'm going to destroy them. It was this Moses that said, no, don't make of me a greater nation than them. I want you to restore them. I want you to receive them. Otherwise, blot out my name out of the book which you have written. That was the Moses. And now these people are saying, they were saying that Moses wanted to kill them in the wilderness, except you make thyself altogether a prince over us. He didn't make himself, God called him. I've seen the affliction of my people, these children of Israel in Egypt. Come now, and I will send you unto them. They twisted everything. They changed everything. They said it was Moses that wanted to make himself a prince over them. Then in verse 14 it says, moreover, thou hast not brought us into that land that floweth with milk and honey. It wasn't the one to take you there. It's God that will take you to the land flowing with milk and honey. Didn't you see the pillar of cloud? Didn't you see the pillar of fire going to search a place of rest for them? It was the plan of God, and it was the power of God. It was God that was to do that. And now they said, Moses, you have not taken us to the land that flows with milk and honey, that is the land of our inheritance, the inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. Is anybody here like that? We will not come up. Okay, if it's like that, we'll not hear the word again. We'll switch up. And we will be, thinking of other things. What kind of mind is that? What kind of heart is that? The word that will purge us. The word that will purify us. The word that will cut away from us all the root of rebellion, which they said they didn't want to hear. I pray you will not be like them. I will not be like them. Why would you be angry? I'm talking on sanctification. Why would you be angry? I'm talking of restoration from the wilderness of sin. Why would you be angry? I'm talking about that the works of the flesh are not of God. And the people that have the works of the flesh, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Am I not quoting the Bible? Why would you be offended? I'm saying that the people who are yielded and given to immorality and to evil, that if they die in that condition, they will go to hell, whoever they are, whatever their name may be. How is somebody angry about that? Am I not reading the Bible? Have I not been saying that same thing for more than 50 years? Have I not been preaching that same holiness? And I preach it now the same way I've always preached it. And the people of yesteryears, they were not angry. If you just came in and then you are angry, you have another heart. You're going another direction and you are not following. You shouldn't even be a leader. You should seek the face of the Lord and get real experience of salvation, of sanctification. And then you will love the word of God. You will want to walk in the light. You will want to stay in the light. You want to be steadfast. But if you are protecting position, if you are protecting what you think you have, your popularity, and then you are going against the word of God, and you join Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, there's no hope except you repent. We're coming to number three here. Number three, we're looking at the character and the mindset of fallen prize seekers. The people who are seeking, they have a goal. They have something they want to grab and hold. And they say they believe the Bible, but the uppermost thing in their heart is the price, is the popularity, is the place, is the position that they are seeking. The Lord doesn't want that. In Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 21, it happened in New Testament too. And it says, for all seek their own. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus' Christ's. All seek their own, not the things which belong to Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reading from verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're reading from verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, have not the pure love of God, have not the holy love of God, have not the selfless love of God, do I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, pure love, purifying love, the love that purges our heart from self-centeredness. If I don't have that, I am nothing. Look at verse 3. In verse 3 it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Even though you are generous, if you are generous but you are looking for something, you are asking for something, you are gunning for something, and you want the people to recognize you, and or if they wouldn't recognize you, if they wouldn't come and bend the knee before you, if they wouldn't submit to you as if now you are their Lord, that does not please you. But because it says, if you give all your gifts, goods to feed the poor, and then you have not charity, pure love, it profiteth me nothing. Look at verse 4. In verse 4 it says, charity, pure love, and selfless love, and Christ-like love, suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envies not. You're not envying another person with his position. If somebody has a privilege different from yours, higher than yours, then that discourages you. You say, but all this I'm doing, why am I not as popular as him? Why am I not as exalted as her? If that's in your heart, then you are not giving unto the Lord. And all that you're doing is like you're looking for a recognition which has not been given. Then it says, a vaunted charity vaunteth not up itself, it's not puffed up. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, seeketh not self-promotion, seeketh not self-recognition, seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Let's come to point number 2 here. Point number 2, we're looking at the murmuring tongues of place seekers, supporters in their contention. Look at verse 19 of Numbers chapter 16, reading from verse 19. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, these people, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they had gift. They had talent. Can you see that? That they had gift and they had talent. They had the ability to go to all the congregation and mobilize them and say, what do you think about this? And they spoke persuasively, and they spoke convincingly, that they influence the whole congregation. It's not about talent, it's how you use that talent. It's not about gift, it's how you use that gift. It's not about the kind of administrative ability that you're able to rally everybody together, but to rally them against sound doctrine. You rally them against the faith once delivered unto the saints. It's not about the gap of communication, ability to communicate. They had the ability. That's how they were able to go to the whole congregation, gather them together, and they would have done much havoc. But the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Look at verse 41. In verse 41, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of God. These people, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, that were wicked people, sinful people, backsliding people, carnal people, corrupt people. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram had so spoken to them that even when the judgment of God came upon Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the congregation who had been persuaded and convinced, they still called them the people of the Lord. That's, what their gift had done. That's what their ability to communicate and to mobilize and, to gather together the congregation. That's what it had done. You know, there are people like that. They have the natural gift. And they have the ability to attract people unto themselves, not unto the Lord. They have the ability to attract people unto themselves, not unto the sound doctrine. They have the ability to convince people. They are the people of God. And if they do anything wrong, and the church has to discipline, and they are disciplined, they can go to people and, scatter the whole thing. But they think they're doing it against Moses. They think they're doing it against Aaron. They're doing it against the Lord, and they're doing it against their own soul. Until the people said, ye have killed the people of the Lord. We're looking at three things here. Number one, we're looking at the contention by thoughtless sympathizers with the godless. They were godless. They were sympathizing with the godless. Number two, the contentiousness of treacherous supporters for gain. Those who treacherously support evil, they support, the lowering of the standard, and they support evil. They're doing it for gain. There's something they want to gain, maybe so that, the people who follow them will understand that, I'm openly rebelling against the word of God. How about you? If you're convinced I'm a man of God, I'm a woman of God, I'm openly rebelling against what they are preaching. They want is that you will follow them, you'll not follow the Lord. You'll follow them, you'll not follow the faith once delivered unto the saints. You'll follow them, you'll not follow the Moses who is up there and who is exhorting us and telling us that this is the way, walk ye therein. They have what they want to gain, but the gain will not be the promised land, will not be the land that is perfect, will not be heaven. Look at number three here, our consecration with thoughtful submission to God. Look at number one. Number one, we're looking at the contention by thoughtless sympathizers with the godless. Thoughtless sympathizers. We're told in Numbers chapter 16, verse 41, but on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Look at verse 42. In verse 42, and it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. Behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Verse 43. In verse 43, Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. 44. In 44, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 45, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them. If they were right, why would God want to consume them? If they were saved, sanctified, why would God want to consume them? If they were holy and upright, why would God want to consume them? If what they were saying, if the people they were supporting really were the people of God, why will they be consumed by the Lord? They were backsliding. They were falling. They were wrong. They need to have the right heart. They need to have the right perspective. That's why God said, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Eventually the judgment of God came, and the judgment fell on them. Look at verse 49. In verse 49, now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Besides them that died about the matter of Korah. Beside Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and their household that stood with them, and the 250, beside them, another 14,700 died. They didn't die in the Lord. They did not die loving the Lord. They did not die fighting the good fight of faith. They did not die supporting the goodness of the Lord. They did not die loving God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. They died in rebellion, and they died without repentance. And the question will be, where are they now? Where are they spending eternity? Can you be very thoughtful and think, this that I'm doing, if I died in this condition, I'm rebelling against something. I'm fighting against something. I'm fighting against the good way that the Lord has revealed. And he knows your heart. By him, actions are weighed. If you died in that condition, where will you spend eternity? You'll be lost forever. Why don't you, just for the sake of your own soul, leave all this position, leave it alone. All these, goal, the drive, I must have this, leave all that alone. In this church, I must attain to this position. My friend, what will that do to you? What will that give you? What position? The position of preaching does not take us to heaven. The position of being called GS does not take anybody to heaven. The position of being called whatever, this and that, does not take anybody to heaven. Why don't you concentrate? We say the Lord will come soon, and the coming of the Lord is imminent. What if some people have their way and they have whatever position? What is that to you? Are you seeking the same thing they're seeking? Are you not seeking for heaven? Concentrate on why you came. Concentrate on what the Lord has brought you into, the salvation of your soul. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And follow peace and holiness with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord. It's not the position, it is the portion we have of the grace of God, of the goodness of God, of this experience of being saved and sanctified wholly and following after the Lord. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number two here. Number two, we're looking at the contentiousness of treacherous supporters for gain. They know, they knew in their heart they were not saying the right thing. They were just treacherous supporters. They were supporting evil. They were supporting false doctrine. They were supporting false, false position seekers. Filthy positions. And they knew that they were supporting the wrong thing. And yet, they were contentious, treacherous supporters for gain. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. We had no such custom. When the Ipan life started, no contention. People came to the Bible study. They learned the word of God. And whatever was studying in the word, they accepted. And they prayed. And they got saved. And all that was important to them, we didn't have, this position, that position. We didn't have this title and that title. People just came and we went for retreat. Easter retreat and December retreat. And wherever people found to sleep, they slept. Wherever, whatever was given to them as food, they ate, because their mind was not on the accommodation, their mind was not on the food, their mind was not on introducing anybody or calling anybody a big name. All we wanted is that we hear the word of God, we apply the word of God, and the word of God soaked into us, sank into us, and our lives were transformed. That's all we wanted. We didn't have the custom of contentiousness, of fighting against the leadership, of fighting against the man preaching, listening to the message of those years. Sometimes we would have two cases. We were using cases at that time. Two cases will record just one message. Why? Because, I had a lot to say and a lot to teach, and nobody eyed me and nobody looked down. Me, nobody belittled me. Nobody insulted me because I went beyond this time and this. And nobody tried to control. We just were there to have the word of God. No contention. If any man therefore now seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Contention will die out in Jesus' name. Amen. When you don't pay attention to the contentious people, when you don't praise them, exalt them, appreciate them, when you don't give any mind, any eye to a contentious person, the gain they're looking for, and the kind of popularity they're looking for, and the kind of exaltation they're looking for, when they cannot get that, and when there are people that will go to them and say, "Friend, why are you contentious? Why are you disturbing us in the church? What did you come for? Didn't you come for real salvation and sanctification? Why are you contending? Why are you contentious?" When people are able courageously to challenge them, they will stop all that contention. They will stop in Jesus' name. And this contention, contending with how much time, the pastor at the headquarters here, how much time he spends in preaching, which is none of your business, and what he says and how he says it, and what, how many Bible passages he reads, which is not your business. If you were preaching, come, we'll not bother you. Read all the passages to us and give us the real word of God that will pinch us, pierce us, and make us feel convicted. We'll be happy with you and happy for you. No more contention in Jesus' name. Amen. Because if any man, if any woman seem to be contentious, we had no such custom before you came. You came and you saw the good thing, the good establishment that God has made, because we were focused on the word of God. Now if you come and you bring contention, you want to pull down the church, Christ said, I will build on this rock, and the gates of hell, tell me the rest, shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell, even if you came from the gate of hell, you will not prevail against the church that Christ is building. Why don't you throw away and bury all that contention? We have no such custom here, neither the real churches of God. Look at number three. Number three, we're looking at our consecration with thoughtful submission to God. Korah, Dathan, Abiram, if you submit to Moses, you're submitting to God. Absalom, if you submit to David, you're submitting to God, because God appointed him. And God said, I have found a man that will fulfill all my will, a man according to my heart. And so, if you rebel, if you contend against David your father, you are contending against the Almighty God. Our consecration is to be thoughtful and to be submissive unto God. We're told in Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put a fire therein, and put incense thereupon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them and killed them. Of course, they went to hell. They're still in hell forever and ever. And they died before the Lord. Look at verse 3. Verse 3, then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified, I will be revered, I will be respected, I will be honored in them that come nigh me before all the people. I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. That's the thoughtful submission to God. God had to do that. And was thoughtful, and he submitted to the, no argument, no contention. God has seen fit that these people that came, and they offered strange fire, something that God had not commanded, and God saw fit to discipline them right there. And Moses spoke to Aaron, Aaron, see what has happened. And Aaron will not reply. And Aaron will not have any kind of contention, any kind of speech that will not glorify God. The Lord make us thoughtful and submissive to him all the days of our lives, in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number three. Point number three, we're looking at the muted tongues of the partnering silent 70 in their cowardice. You remember the 70? Moses had said he couldn't bear the burden of the children of Israel alone. And so God said, pick 70 men, elders, of the people that you know their character, you know their comportment, you know their consecration, you know their submission, you know their surrenderedness unto the Lord. Choose them, and I will take of the spirit of you and bring it and bring that spirit upon them, and they shall bear the body in with thee. Now, Korah rose up. None of those 70 could come and say, Korah, what are you doing? That is wrong. Dathan and Abiram rose up, and these people had to bear burden with Moses. They didn't bear any burden. We can't see them. They were all quiet. They didn't say anything. And then, even when they heard of the children of Israel in chapter 14, with the mixed multitude, they started crying and weeping, and they said, we're going to choose a captain, and we'll go back to Egypt. They never said a word. Now the question is, how are you a burden bearer with Moses when all those things are going on, and then you run away in your cowardice? We're looking at three things here. Number one, we're looking at the guilty silence of the appointed burden bearing 70. Number two, the God's speechless 70. Guard their mouth, guard their tongues, pinned down, that they couldn't open their mouth to say anything of all these conspiracies going on, and of all that Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were doing. And they went to all the congregation to confuse them and to buy them over. The 70, where are you? Come on, stand up, say something. Are you in agreement? Are you not in agreement? And God has given you 70 to Moses to bear the body in with him. Say something. Something that will make the children of Israel to know they were following the wrong instigation of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. No. They had God's speechless tongue. The 70, they abandoned the burden bearing support. Number three, the graceful servants acceptably bearing burdens with the Savior. Let's look at number one. Number one, the guilty silence of appointed burden bearing 70. Numbers chapter 11, we're looking at verse 16. Numbers 11, verse 16, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me the 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Verse 17. In verse 17, and I will come. I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, that they, and they shall bear the burden of the people. They shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. But now, trouble came, contention came, conflict came. Moses fell on his face. Come, they said they will not come. And none of these 70 could go to them from behind and say, don't do like this. Look at this man. He sacrificed much. And look at all those miracles before Pharaoh. And look at the miracle at the dividing of the Red Sea. Look at the manna we ate today. We've been eating that manna for years. It's because of the prayer of this man. And look at the water that came out of the rock. Why are you doing like this? Why are you contentious? Don't you? You know, this man was, you know, tired, fed up, and so he told God that he could not bear the burden alone, and we are part of the burden bearers. No! Nobody came up with anything. The nearest people to Moses did not come up and check those people. It just left Moses to that. It was as good as not appointing the 70. It was as good as not having those 70. They didn't be any burden with him. And eventually, when the children of Israel, when they began their game again, grumbling, murmuring, we want water, we want water. And Moses was exasperated, tired, fat out. And he forgot himself. None of these 70 people came near Moses to say, Moses, don't allow these people to get on your nerves. Don't allow them to cut short your goodness and the great thing you've been doing. They saw Moses when somebody is getting exasperated, and when he's, you know, and the thing is getting on top of him, the people around him will know. None of them went to him, and none of them told the people, why you're doing this again? Why are you bringing this kind of thing again? Until Moses took the rod, and God said, go speak to the rock. And none of the 70 people came near to say, Moses, please remember, don't you know, walk against yourself. He said, speak against the rock and speak to the rock. Rather, he didn't say strike the rock. He forgot himself. He struck the rock. And then he himself now said, you rebels, are we going to bring water out of the rock for you? The man got angry. He lost himself. But none of the 70 came to hell. Now, we are all burden bearers for the leadership in the church. You've learned a lot, and you see a lot. If you see a man, if you see a woman in a contentious spirit, and he wants to scatter what has been done all these many years, how many of you 70? How many of you burden bearers go to them to convince them this is not right? How many of you will show them the light of being reasonable and the light of going the right direction? The 70, they kept quiet. It was like they were not there. Are you like you are not there? Are you defending the truth? Are you standing courageously, honestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints? Or do you just come in, go out? You see anybody bringing worldliness out there? Come into, you know, the search. You know, somebody came to the headquarters church here and was singing, you know, like the world, what they call rap. And nobody saw that until it came on social media. And the young people were even saying, what's happening to our deeper life? Is there no discipline anymore? Is there no correction anymore? Young people, they're still disciplined. But you know, the GS does not see everything until maybe sometimes they reach it on the social media that this is what, you know, some of those young ladies are turning deeper life to. But there are people that will see them, but they just walk away. The 70 people, the 70 elders have no voice anymore because they are cowards. And they do not understand, they do not know the reason why they are chosen and the reason why they are appointed to do what they ought to do. The Lord help us to wake up in Jesus' name. Look at Proverbs chapter 24. I'm reading from verse 12. In Proverbs chapter 24, we're looking at verse 12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, does not he that pondereth thy heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, does he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? If you turn your eyes away, you're supposed to be a burden bearer, and you're supposed to lead the burden of the leadership. You're supposed to join me, join us, to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. But you are busy seeking position, seeking recognition. You are busy wanting to have the works of the flesh manifest in your life. And the real reason you are to be by my side, the real reason why you are to be a burden bearer with me, with us, you've forgotten that the Lord is saying, if you say, I don't see, and you will not correct the people that are going wrong, and you have another agenda now, does not God see? Let's look at number two. Number two, we're looking at the God speechless 70, abandoning their burden bearing support. That now they abandoned their burden bearing support. The Lord does not want us to abandon what we ought to do. Look at James chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 17. James chapter 4. We're reading from verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You were chosen because Moses knew those 70. He knew their commitment. He knew their consecration. He knew that these could have a significant role in bearing the burden with him. That's why you were chosen. And then God knew, and he gave the Holy Spirit, a measure of the Spirit, unto all the 70. But now the opportunity came, their chance came, that they should now show they were practical burden bearers and rebuke contention and rebuke compromise and rebuke controversy and rebuke this Korah, Dathan and Abiram. But cowardice, fear. They feared the faces of the people. They respected Korah, Dathan, and Abiram so much, they forgot their choice, their selection, and their duty and responsibility. If we are like that we can't talk to anybody anymore. We don't challenge anybody anymore. We don't correct anybody anymore. We cannot even correct the people underneath, under our authority. How can we correct the people at par with us? And how can we correct somebody up there higher than us if they're not doing right? No, we cannot. We're too much of a coward to confront anyone or anything. We're too much of a fearful personality to confront any false doctrine. And you and I were built this thing together. And then you see people that, you know, want to make everything to go down the drain. And you cannot even defend what you have participated in building. If you are like that, and fear stops your mouth, and cowardice shuts your mouth, and you are gagged, and you cannot come up like the real 70 and say, in our place while we're still here. Not only the pastor, not only Moses, we stand with him. You cannot do that here. If you cannot do that, why are you there? Why are you a partner? A partner in progress? No, you're too quiet. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We're coming to number three here. Number three, the graceful servants acceptably bearing bodies with the Savior. Here, Christ chose the 70 and he sent them two and two to the places where he himself will come. And he told them, I sent you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. He told them that those people I'm sending you to, they're not of a soft character. They're not of a gentle disposition. They're not of a helpful disposition. That they are wolves and you are lambs, and I'm sending you forth. They didn't chicken out because of that. They came back and they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said, yes. And I saw Satan falling from heaven. Then he said, behold, I give unto you power. They had power, they had authority. He gave them now more power. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And then he said, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You remember I sent you to those wolves and you are able to stand? Do you remember I sent you in the midst of the wolves and those wolves were not able to hurt you or hinder you? Even their master, I saw their master fall from heaven, and I give you power. He gives us power. I said he gives us power. But what if you go out and the power is there, and like the 70 of the Old Testament, you're not using the power. You cannot warn the unruly. You cannot redirect those who are missing their way. You cannot correct Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. You cannot speak to the 250 famous people that are doing evil. And so evil continues, and your position is irrelevant, has no value, because you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Things will turn around. Things will change. Where you've been quietly going your way is none of my business. Now you know, warning the unruly and making the people who want to turn the church to a contentious congregation, you stand up and you tell them to their faces. After all, they themselves, they don't fear us. And it can bring contention. And the work we've done on the whole congregation, they can go around and spoil everything. And they don't fear us. And the contentious man does not fear me. Why should I fear him? If the contentious woman does not respect me, and she will do whatever she would do so as to bring upside down what God has used me for more than 50 years. If she doesn't honor me, respect me, and respect my consecration, and respect my calling, why should I respect her? If a person is intent in doing whatever she will do, why should I be? Am I such a coward that somebody wants to kill the ministry and kill me and kill the work we've done for all these many years? And then you keep on, you cannot talk. Why? Why can't you talk? From now on, you will talk. Yeah. Nobody will come here, no matter his position, no matter her position, no matter his popularity, no matter her popularity, no Korah, no Dathan, no Abiram will be given chance here to hinder this large congregation from getting to heaven. Heaven, well, we'll get there. It's not like, you know, at those times of the Old Testament when Moses will fall on his face. That era, I'm telling you, is over. Let me hear you. The era we're in now is when Paul saw Peter that he didn't walk uprightly. And even Barnabas was about being taken away with their dissimulation. And Paul did not fall on his face. Paul said, hey, Peter, look up here. If you being a Jew are not subjected to the laws of the Jews, how do you compel the Gentiles? He spoke to him to his face. Those who have the Spirit of God will rise up. Those who have the power of God will rise up. Those who have conviction will rise up. And the people that want to take holiness, sanctification away from the center of Deeper Life Bible Church, Deeper Christian Life Ministry, we will silence them. Rise up and talk to the Lord. You're going to stand where you ought to stand. You're going to be who you ought to be. You're not fearing the face of a man, the face of a woman. You're not fearing anyone. You want to stand. You will stand. Open your mouth and pray and talk to the Lord. And the Lord will grant you more grace, more strength, more power, more anointing, more spirit. And he'll give you the courage you ought to have. You'll not be a compromiser in Jesus' name. Talk to the Lord, talk to the Lord. Don't be in a hurry. Say, Lord, grant me the voice. Grant me the strength. Grant me the power. Grant me the authority to be able to do what I'm called to do. You're not seeking for the respect of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. You're not seeking for the recognition of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. You're not looking for any gain, anything from any Korah, Dathan, or Abiram. You are telling the Lord now, I've been chosen, I've been selected so that I will contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And nothing will shut my mouth. The fear of man, the fear of a woman will not shut my mouth. The fear of conspirators will not shut my mouth. The fear of backsliders. Why would you fear a backslider? When he was in the Lord, having the Spirit of God, having salvation, you didn't fear him. When she was in the Lord, having holiness and sanctification, you didn't fear her. Is it now that she's backsliding and she becomes a conspirator that you'll fear her? God forbid. Tell the Lord that he'll give you the heart, the mind of Joshua, of Caleb, of Paul, and you'll stand firmly. If those unbelievers, backsliders, Korah, Dathan, Abiram, if they are the gift of going to the congregation and convincing them, how about you? How about you? If you are not a Korah, not an Abiram, not a Dathan, but a real child of God, if they had the authority, the audacity to do what they did, how about you? Where do you stand? Tell the Lord. He who knows to do good, and he does it not, for him it is sin. You know the standard. You know when somebody is contradicting the standard. You know when they're living a rebellious life. And you know to correct them. Are you afraid? Are you afraid? They will shun you, insult you. What if they did? They make life uncomfortable for you. What if they did? Be a man of conviction. A woman of conviction. Stand for what you stood for. The Bible has not changed. The doctrines of the word has not changed. The meaning of sanctification has not changed. Our calling has not changed. Stand where you ought to stand. If you preach and they continue rebellion, that's not new. Moses spoke the word, Korah still continued. But you speak so their blood will not be upon you. Warn them, exhort them, talk to them, emphasize what Christ has given us to emphasize. Don't worry. There are Korahs that will not change after 1,000 messages. Don't worry about them. Dathan, Abiram, there are those who are bent on doing whatever they will do, whatever you preach. Don't worry about them. They will go to their places in eternity. But you stand and don't allow fear of man, fear of woman to shut you up. Whether they will criticize your preaching, accommodate your preaching, don't worry about that. They are not your judge. They are not my judge. He's giving us the word. Declare that word without fear, without favor. Pray. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't allow people's conspiracy, don't allow anyone's stubbornness to change the doctrine in your heart, in your mouth. Stand. Stand. Stand where you have always stood.
in Jesus' name.